Okay, good morning. Get all my electronics set up here. A few weeks ago, I started this series on spiritual identity. And we realized since we're interweaving series that people may not remember, so I thought we should probably do a little bit of a review. So part one of this series, today we're talking about who I am, but part one was where we came from. Now, here's the key question. Who remembers anything from that message from 3 weeks ago? Has anybody got anything? Where did we come from? What did we talk about? Besides the 21 Pilots song. Well, guess. What do you think? There you go. All right, that's a good one. Yes, and this is exactly why we're doing review, since we're 3 weeks off from the last time. Your identity is what we talked about, comes from God. And we talked about how we were created in God's image. In other words, we're unique in comparison to animals or plants or any other created thing because we alone were created in God's image. That's what makes us unique as a living species. We were created in His image. We came from Him, His likeness. We're not God and we're not perfect, but we're created in His image. We reflect Him. And then not only that, but we talked about the second time where they talk about the creation of man in Genesis, about how, I think it was Genesis 5, I can't remember off the top of my head, but where how God is really our ancestor, if you think about it. If you go all the way back up the line, the ancestral line, and God bestowed a blessing on Adam when He created him, and that blessing goes down through the generations. We have the blessing of God, if you think about that. Have you ever thought about God that way, as your ancestor, in your lineage? And so that is true for all people. And then we talked about how our identity comes from God as our creator. So not only do we come from God, created in His image, as He's our ancestor, but He created us as well. The Bible's very clear in this, that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And then we looked at the verse about how we are known by God. We are known by God. Everybody wants to be known. You know, we all want to be known by somebody, that they would really know us. And God's it. God really knows us. This is where we come from. And like I said, this is true for all people, all mankind, all people that ever lived, all people that are alive today, all people that ever will live. This is their identity. This is the truth of who they are, whether they're Christians or not. All mankind. And what a shame that so many don't recognize this, that where they came from, so many people don't recognize this. So many people are just tossing and turning in the waves and winds of life and have lost their identity, have lost their grounding, their footing on who and where they came from. And their identity is without an anchor. I read the story this week. Maybe you guys, did you read the story about the girl who was found in India living with monkeys? Did anybody read that? Raise your hand. Okay, a few of you read that. Can you believe that? So this girl was found in the jungle living with monkeys. She was estimated probably to be about 10 or 12 years old. And they guesstimate that she probably was abandoned or something and at a very young age because she couldn't talk. She couldn't communicate any human language. And so some guy was walking around and through the jungle or forest or whatever you call it there and saw this girl with this pack of monkeys and called the police, and police came out. And a policeman tried to, like, approach her, and she shrieked, and all the other monkeys gathered around her, you know, because she was one of them. She was identified with this pack or family of monkeys. And somehow the policeman finally got a hold of her and got her in his police car and drove away, and the monkeys were giving chase, you know, as he's driving away. You know, like, what are you doing? You're taking one of us. And they brought her to a hospital, and with a lot of care, you know, when she first got to the hospital, she walked around on her hands and feet and eat food off the floor, but they've cared for her and taught her. She can now walk on 2 feet. They've taught her how to do that. And she eats a little better, and she now is starting to recognize words, so she's starting to learn the language, whatever they're speaking to her, and she can recognize when they say this that means this person or this now. And so she's starting to learn her true identity as a human being. She had lost it. She had lost her human identity. And as surprising and shocking as sad as that story is, we ought to be equally surprised and shocked and sad about the millions of people in this world who have lost their spiritual identity, that they came from God, that they're created in God's image, that God is their creator who knit them together and knows them. They're spiritual beings who don't know that they came from God. Well, today we're going to go even deeper, and we're going to talk about our identity in Christ. And we're going to look a little deeper at who a Christian is and who is our specific identity. Who are we? So before we start, let's open in prayer and then we'll jump right in. Father, I do pray for that little girl that was found in the jungle, Lord. It's such a huge change of life for her. Lord, I lift her up to you and just ask that you would put people in her lives that care and love her and teach her what it means to be a human being. Lord, that she would grasp that and learn that, Lord. And we just lift up her life to you. And for all the millions of people that are alive today that reject you, God, as being their creator, that reject you as that they were created in your image, Lord, I pray that we would be ones that could teach that, Lord, and show that in our lives, Lord, that more people would understand their grounding in you. We pray today, Lord, that you would teach our hearts in a deep way who our identity is in you, Christ, and what that means, and how we ought to live as a result of that. We pray this all, lift this all up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The truths we're going to look at today are only for Christians. Okay, the truths that we looked at last time were for everybody. These truths are only for Christians. They're not universal. All right? But just how every human being can become lost in their identity, their spiritual identity, and where they came from, Christians can become lost in our spiritual identity of who we are in Christ if we don't recognize our identity in Christ. And that's why it's such a vital topic, because your spiritual walk depends on it, that you understand deeply your spiritual identity in Jesus Christ. And the reason for this is because when a person comes to faith in Christ, their whole reality changes. Their whole world changes. Their whole spiritual realm changes. And I think, you know, they are the same person, but really there's deep changes. It's kind of like I think about a marriage relationship, you know, when a man and a woman that are single become united in marriage, their whole reality changes. You know, they're still the same person, but all things are new. They have a new life, and their old life has gone. And that's the reality when spiritually as well. In fact, one of the biggest struggles with married couples, right, newly married couples, is when one or the other doesn't grasp their new identity and still kind of lives independently and says, well, I always just kind of made my own decisions. You know, well, yeah, that doesn't really work anymore. Your old life is gone. Your new life is with your spouse. You are married now. You can't live like you were single. You have a new identity. And it's the same thing when we come to faith. Our old life is gone. We're not just to live independently anymore or make our own decisions and just live our lives for ourselves. We're united with Christ. We're one with Christ. And our reality has changed. So our theme verse for this morning, it's in your bulletin notes too, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In Christ, you have become a new creature. That means a new creation, because you are now joined with Christ. You're now part of his body. We're Christ's body. And that's why in Ephesians, when Paul talks about marriage, in Ephesians 5, and this is often in wedding ceremonies, Paul talks about how this is the same as Christ in the church. This is an exact, what a great representation of what happens between Christ and his church in you. Things are changed. Your old identity is gone, and now you are joined with Christ. My favorite analogy to this is the process of metamorphosis. And, you know, if there's this creature called a caterpillar that's just kind of crawling along on a branch, and at some point he decides to make a cocoon, however that works, and then out of the cocoon at the appointed time comes a butterfly. Now, it's the same creature. It's the same living organism, but that caterpillar has biologically and completely changed forever. His old life as a caterpillar is gone. He is now fully a butterfly. And things are permanently changed. How crazy it would be if after that metamorphosis, you stumbled upon this butterfly and he was still just crawling along the branch all day. And you're like, well, what are you doing? You know? And he never acknowledged that he changed. This would be a butterfly with an identity crisis. Because this butterfly still thinks he's a caterpillar, but he's not anymore. He is a butterfly. And you'd be like, fly, you idiot, fly. You know, you're a butterfly, right? And in Christ, we have gone through a kind of spiritual metamorphosis. We have a new identity. The NLT version of this verse says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So in that translation, rather new creature, it's new person. The old life is gone, and that's what we're talking about. A new life has begun, a new life. New things have come. So what are some aspects of our new identity in Christ? Here are some of just a list. There's a million of them, but these are some of the things that are true about you in your spiritual identity with Jesus Christ. So let's all, not the verse references, but the actual topics, let's all in, you know, union, in unity, let's repeat these together. Ready? Here we go. I am Christ's child. I have been adopted as God's child. I am joined in one spirit with the Lord. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I am Christ's friend. I cannot be separated from the love of Christ. I am complete in Christ. Amen? If you are a believer, all these things are true of you. This is your new identity in Christ. This is who you are if you have faith in Him. Before we continue, and we haven't done this normally, but we're going to pause in the middle of the message and we're going to respond to this by singing about our new identity in Christ. So please stand up and we're going to sing together about our identity in the song Christ, the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. echo with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Oh, lest to stand before the throne, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Can you have a seat? Thanks, Chris. Just as your identity as a Christian is now with Christ, equally your identity is no longer with sin. Your identity is no longer with sin. In other words, you're not an unbeliever anymore. You're not. Your identity is not as a sinner. Theologically speaking, going back to the analogy of the butterfly who wouldn't fly, what if he could talk and we'd ask him, why aren't you flying? You know, and his response was, well, I'm just a converted caterpillar. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, that's not true. You'd realize that's the identity problem right there, right? The reality was you tell him, no, you were a caterpillar and you were converted, but you are now a butterfly. You're no longer identified as a caterpillar. And it's the same way with us in Christ. We are no longer identified as a sinner, as in our old life. It's like if you're talking to a friend and he said, well, I'm just an old embryo. You know, no, you were an embryo like a long time ago. But grow up, okay? You were born. So grow up. And it's like, when it's like that, if we focus too much time and focus on the fact that we sin, that we're a sinner, we think that we're a sinner. See, you were a sinner, you were an unbeliever, but you were converted, you were spiritually reborn in Christ. And now, by the grace of God, you are a saint. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, he made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, Jesus took away our sin problem. As a result, you're no longer identified as a sinner, but as righteous. You are righteous if you are in Christ. And you might think, well, I don't really feel righteous. Or you might say, well, Mike, I don't really always act righteous. You know, and that's true of all of us. We still sin. We are not perfect. None of us are perfect. And so this idea of you being righteous may seem like a very foreign concept to you, to say, I am righteous. You may see, well, that's hard for me to say. As I was meditating on this verse this week and thinking about this, I thought, it was equally the same with Christ when he took on our sin. It said, he who knew no sin, he had no idea what it meant. He was perfect. He was flawless. He had no sin. He took on our sin. He knew nothing of sin, and yet he took it on our behalf. He became to be sin on our behalf. As foreign as that was to him, he did it. And that may be as foreign as we feel as being righteous. It's the exact reverse. He took on our sin, and now we're righteous. And he really didn't feel like taking on your sin. You know, we see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He surely would have rather done something else, if possible. But he realized that was the only way. And so he chose, despite his feelings, to take on our sin and to become something foreign that he had never, that he was not. And so now, regardless, I think it's a lot easier for us to realize, even if we don't feel righteous, it's foreign to us, we are. Because of what Christ did on the cross. It has nothing to do with us, of course. It's all because of Christ. it's a kind of irrelevant to how we feel because it's the fact. So our identity is no longer with sin but with Christ. Check out this verse. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And you may say, well, I'm a Christian, but I still sin. And that's true. None of us are perfect. But the idea here is that in Christ, our old sinful nature has died. The power, the stronghold that held us is gone. It's lost its power in our lives. And we're no longer slaves to it. We've been set free from the power and the hold of sin. And yet, sometimes for a lot of us, we're so used to that life, that sinful nature, that our instincts can kind of naturally drift that way, and we forget about our new nature. I thought of this example of, I don't know how many of you were in the military, but imagine someone who was in the military and then was honorably discharged, or retired, or I don't know what they call it, one of those things. And so he's not in the military anymore, and he's walking along the street, and he passes his former, he's just a civilian now, he's in civilian clothes, and he passes his former commanding officer, who's also in civilian clothes, and he's just walking out on the street, he doesn't really notice, and then he looks up, and the officer calls his name, and immediately, you know, falls in a salute. Why would he do that? Well, it's because that was the pattern in his old life. That was his old self, was to obey his commanding officer, to fall into salute when he approaches commanding officer. But that's not his life anymore. He's now a civilian. He didn't have to do that anymore. That was not who he was anymore. And it's the same with us spiritually. We can forget that we're no longer under the power of sin, and we can forget that we've been set free, and then we act as if we must obey its hold on us when it has no hold anymore. The power is gone. So when we think this way and we react this way to sin, it's like we've forgotten our identity. Let me illustrate this another way. And for this, I will need a volunteer. Any volunteers? Oh, there's a guy. Okay, come on up here. All right, okay. All right. Now, let's say this is just a guy. And this coat here represents sin. Okay, this is actually my work coat when I have to, like, crawl in the crawl space in the middle of winter. And so, yeah, it's pretty gross. It's pretty dirty. If there was going to be a coat that represented sin, this would be it. Okay, so this is Daniel before he came to faith, and he's clothed in his old self, sin. Unfortunately, sin, he can't really take it off because before he has faith in Christ, he's in bondage to sin. And sin has power over him. Let's see. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you'd think a bunch of Boy Scouts could figure this out. Here, let's try it. Here, let's do it this way. We're going to like an Eagle Court of Honor later today, too. They're going to like take our Eagle badges away or something. All right. If they only knew. All right. Too tight or good? All right. All right. So, Daniel's in bondage to sin. So, let's see. Try and take off the coat now, Daniel, with your hands tied together. And sometimes people try and do this, right? They try to shed sin, but they can't do it. It's, you know, he could work at this all day. He might be able to get it off and then over his head on his arms, but it would still be on him. There's no way to take it off, right? Okay. So he is in bondage to sin. Sin has power over him. Now, he comes to faith in Jesus. Jesus releases him from the power of sin, the hold that sin has on him. He's now freed. Now, here's the thing, though. He doesn't know this, and so he keeps walking around like this. Okay, now, with your arms together, even though you're not tied anymore, now try and take the coat off. Same problem. Right? Same problem. And many Christians still walk around in their life like this, thinking that they're not freed from sin, that they're still in bondage, slaves to sin. But the reality is that when Christ freed us from sin, he freed us completely. And then the power and then shedding sin is obviously much easier. Give him a big hand for helping us out there. Some aspects of our identity in Christ in relation to sin. Let's all repeat these. Again, not the verse references, but just the truths. Together in unison, I have been justified. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am free from condemnation. I am hidden with Christ in God. Your identity is no longer in sin. You're free from the power of sin. You're free from condemnation. Now, see, once we internalize the spiritual identity that we have in Christ and that we are no longer identified with sin, we're called to set our hearts on it and live in our new identity. And we looked at this verse last time a little bit. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We set our hearts on things above is in the first verse. We set our hearts on things above. In other words, we have been made righteousness. We have been made righteous. So we set our hearts on the things of God. Righteousness, pursuing holiness. He's made us righteous. It's our response, our heart response. Set your minds on things above. We've been freed from sin. So is that we've been freed from sin so we can just sit around and sin? You know, Paul said, may it never be. We've been freed from sin. So pursue that. You're free in Christ. Pursue your freedom in Christ and choose to live for God. That's our response, to do something about it, to now walk and live in our new identity. Our life is now hidden with Christ in God. As we live this way, our new life will be seen by those around us. As you live and walk in your new identity, people will see that. You know, I was reading about when the gospel first came to Antioch in the first century in the early church. Do you know that that's where the word Christian came from? In Antioch? That's where the word Christian came from. And it wasn't from the Christians. The Christians didn't call each other Christians. The followers of Christ, they were the church, but they didn't call each other Christians. The word Christian came from the society at large in Antioch. And it might have been a derogatory term. Not sure exactly. I don't know exactly the political history of that. But the point was that they said, hey, this is new. This is a new sect of Christ followers. They're like Christ. They're with Christ. They belong to Christ. Their identity is with Christ. And so they called them Christians. And that stuck through all the centuries to this day. We use the term Christian. It came from not from the church, but from outside of the church, because those people were walking and living in their new identity, and the society at large took note. They saw them. They saw that, wow, these people are living in their new identity as Christians. Ephesians 4 talks about the same concept, how we're to lay aside our old self, our old nature. But we don't just do that. We're to put on our new nature and our new self. So volunteer, come on back up again. We only did half of the deal, right? So he shed his old nature, his old self, his old identity. But now it's just him. We didn't put on his new identity, his new self. And so now we have a much nicer jacket. And there he is. Doesn't he look much spiffier now? All right. Give Daniel a big hand. All right. So we put on Christ and we live for people, and people notice. You notice Daniel now with being new and spiffy with his jacket on. You notice it. And we take note when you put on your new self, when you put on Christ and live out your faith publicly, identifying with Christ, people will take note. People will notice. And all this motivation, why would we do this? Why would we live for Christ? It all comes from, the motivation comes from what he did for us, because he took your sin on your behalf. He took it. He took it from you. He took care of that problem. And out of his great love, for the love, Paul said, for the love of Christ controls us. We're so moved and motivated when we learn the love of Christ that he would take our sin upon him. He who knew no sin took sin, became sin on our behalf. What love is that? For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all. Why? So that they, that the they is us, by the way, so that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. That we might no longer live for ourselves. Our old life is gone, but that we might live for him who died and rose again on our behalf. That's the call to us. The motivation is because of Christ's love that compels us, another translation says, controls us, compels us. We can't help but live for him because of his love for us. Old things passed away and new things have come. The new things in living for Christ involve loving and serving God and loving and serving people. And we're going to get into that more in part three of this series on what we're to do now that we are identified with Christ. The new way of living, the new life in Christ is so rich and satisfying and full when we embrace it and walk in our new identity. But it only comes when we walk in that new identity. I was thinking about a president. I was thinking yesterday about a president. And I won't talk about contemporary presidents because they haven't really steeped enough in history. So we'll talk about it. Let's go historically back to like Abraham Lincoln, since we live in Illinois, the land of Lincoln. And imagine if Abraham Lincoln was elected president, which he was, we know. And he said, he understood that. He said, yes, I understand that I was elected president. I am now president of the United States. I won the election. And then what if after he said that, he just stayed in Springfield, continued in his law practice, and never moved to Washington, D.C.? And, you know, reporters would come down and said, Abraham Lincoln, you're the president of the United States. And he'd say, yes, I know. I am the president of the United States. Well, why are you still here in Springfield? See, he would not be embracing his new identity as president. He would just have lived his old life. Even though he was president, he would have just kept living his old life. But it wasn't until he embraced his new identity, his new life as president of the United States, moved to Washington, and acted out his role as president of the United States, that he changed the course of history forever in this country. Changed the course of history forever because he walked in his new identity as president of the United States. He bore much fruit because he exercised his new identity as president. With us spiritually, do we want to see that kind of fruit in our new life in Christ? Well, we're to walk and live in our new identity in Christ, freed from sin and alive to Christ. You can change the course of history forever, when not just by being a Christian, but by living as a Christ follower, living as a Christian, that people will see, wow, that is a Christian. And the Lord does amazing things. I was just thinking about when we live out our faith in whatever gifts that we have, whatever capacity that means, we change the course of history. Things happen. I was thinking about 3 weeks ago when I did part one, I put in that 21 Pilots song, and we talked a lot about teen pop music. And you might think that, wow, well, that's because you knew this big group of Des Moines girls were coming. I had no idea. I didn't know. We didn't. None of us knew until that morning that all these teen girls were going to show up that morning, 20-some-odd teen girls. But the Lord worked all these things out through some, you know, I got exposed to 21 Pilots for some reason a couple weeks ago without going into it before that time, and was obsessed with them that week and realized, wow, this is such a music of identity. I got to work, share one of these songs in my message. And then Jonathan and I had just happened to have this talk about pop music culture. And I was like, wow, what a great illustration. I put that all in there. I've never talked about teen pop music or played teen pop music in a message on Sunday morning in my entire Christian life. And yet the Lord worked it all out, and then all these teenagers were there. And I realized, wow, you know, that's what it is when we walk and live in our new identity in Christ. God does things, you know. He brings things together. He orchestrates the things, and he uses you in grand ways. And you just have to look back and say, wow, glory to God that he has a plan here beyond what I would ever think or imagine. He's got a plan for my life if I would just walk in it and live in our new identity. And this is true over and over again for so many of us in so many different ways. So many different stories. Well, I'd like to pass out a spiritual birth certificate. And Megan and Abby, I've got the copies. They're going to pass them out. So one of you can come over here, pass them out. And I guess Ruthie has it. So somebody has them. All right. I knew somebody had them. All right, yeah. So if pass them out to here and pass them out here. This is a spiritual birth certificate that we might remember our identity. Since next time in this series, we're going to go over what we're to do. We're not going to talk as much about identity, who we are anymore. And what I'd like to do is, if you're in this room and you identify yourself as a Christian, that you have faith in Jesus Christ, would you take a pencil from the pew and write your name after the I? Okay? Just write it down in there. If you identify yourself as a Christian, I'll just give you a minute as we're passing these out. Share your pencils around if you have to. Everybody got one? All right, I think everybody's good over here. Thank you, guys. Give them a big hand. There are lots of audience participation today. Okay, write your name in there. We'll give Abby and Megan a second. And then let's just take a minute and, yeah, let's have everybody stand. Go ahead, stand. And if you would like, we're going to recite this out loud together. It's going to be fun when we all say our own names in this. But let's read this out loud. Ready? Together. I, Mike Eichen, having put my faith in Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, understand that my identity is now in Christ. I am now a new creature in Christ. The old things passed away, new things have come. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on my behalf, so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. My old sinful self was crucified with Christ. I am no longer a slave to sin. I have been set free from the power of sin. Since I have been raised with Christ, I will strive to set my heart and mind on things above. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Why don't you keep standing and let's close in prayer. And the music team will come up and lead us. Keep standing as we close in prayer. And Father, we ask that you would teach all of us that we would not be spiritually speaking, like that girl with the monkeys, Lord, that we wouldn't be living in a false identity of who we are, Lord, but you would rip through our hearts, that you would implant your truths deep in our hearts, even if it's foreign to us, of who we are in you, Lord, and that we would realize that it's all you, God. It has nothing to do with us, how good we are, Lord. Our righteousness comes from you alone, because you, as a perfect God-man, came down to earth, died on the cross. We look forward to this coming weekend as we celebrate and remember your incredible sacrifice for us on the cross, that you died on the cross for our sin. Lord, teach our hearts this week that we might have a deeper identity in you, Lord, that this weekend, at Good Friday service and Easter Sunday, Lord, that we would be fully identified with you in all that we think, all that we do, Lord, that we're freed from the power of sin, that our old nature is gone, Lord. Help us to walk in our new nature with you, who we are, who we really are in you.